It's great to see you this morning. Thank you so much for being here. Happy Celebration Sunday. Today's an exciting day. We get to celebrate some of the wonderful things God is doing in our church family. Amen? Amen. You know, I want to start off this morning by just saying thank you for an overwhelming show of kindness to me and to my family last week, to the entire pastoral staff. Just absolutely overwhelming and humbling, the kindness that we received. And I can't tell you what it means, how much we appreciate it, and just what an encouragement it is. I love you. I love this church. I love being a part of this church. I'm so thankful I get to be a part of what God is doing in this body of believers. I'm thankful that you're a part, and I really believe that our best days are ahead of us. Amen. That God's just getting started, what he wants to do in us and through us. I hope you believe that for yourself, for you, for your family. Your best days are ahead of you, not behind you. It's a lie of the enemy to get you looking over your shoulder, almost living in remorse and regret because things aren't the way they used to be. Your best days are ahead of you. When you really believe that, it lets you just charge forward with joy and with faith, knowing that there's just days of victory and celebration ahead of you. Amen? So that's one of the things we get to celebrate today. That's why we're celebrating. Not a day of remembrance of something that used to be. Celebrating what God is doing now. Celebrating what lies ahead. And so today is a day to celebrate. You know, one of the things we're going to celebrate this morning is families dedicating their children to the Lord, which is important. We don't baptize little babies because you don't really see that in the Bible at all. You see people bringing their children and dedicating them to the Lord. Hannah brought Samuel in the book of 1 Samuel. Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple and dedicated him there. We're going to baptize people in a little bit. It's going to be wonderful. But part of the significance of baptism is people have made a decision. I want to die to my old life. I want to walk in newness of life found in Jesus Christ. So that's a decision that, you know, babies can't really articulate. So we've got parents that want to dedicate those lives and really dedicate themselves as a family to the Lord. So if you're one of those families that's going to be dedicating a child, I'm going to invite you to come forward and join me on the platform here. You can make your way up. Come right up on this platform. Step right over here. Praise God. That's going to be. You know, this is something to celebrate. We live in times where you see all kinds of crazy things happening, people not being raised right, people suffering from the consequences of growing up in homes that were just absolute disasters. So it's something to celebrate when you've got men and women, moms and dads, that want to stand before the body of Christ and say, we dedicate ourselves, we dedicate these children. They're going to serve the Lord, they're going to be raised to know Jesus and to follow after him. We dedicate ourselves to that purpose. That's something to be celebrated. We've got families that have a heart to do that. And so that's what's taking place here this morning. Parents acknowledging these children aren't really theirs. They're entrusted with them. They're to be stewards of these lives and use their influence. The Bible says, train a child up in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. So making a commitment, we're going to train our children. So I want to challenge you parents with a couple of things before we pray for you here in just a minute. I want to challenge you in two areas. One is to make sure that you raise your children. Oh, you're good. You're good. Anybody else? I want to challenge you to raise your kids in the body of Christ. To raise them, you've got a fresh start, young lives. To raise them in, to be a part of the body of Christ. Every week you hear Pastor Will talk about Psalm 92. Those who are planted in the house of God will flourish in the house of God. To make a commitment that God's kingdom comes first. You know, sometimes we have people that will bring a kid that, you know, just graduated from high school and it's a, you know, things aren't going well, and they say, boy, my child, things are, you know, they've gotten tangled up in any number of things, and we need help, and we can help them. We'll do everything we can to help them. But how much better for a child that from the early ages of their life, they were raised in the body of Christ. They were raised knowing that church is a priority. We have a family like this for a reason. So I want to challenge you, raise your children in the house of God. Let them see other men and women of God and build relationships with people that are going to pour into them. Amen? It is critically important. Don't get to where your child's 17 or 18 and wish, boy, I wish I would have started off. It's hard to go back, and God can certainly meet you there, but how much better when they're 2, 3, 4, 5, 12, 13, 14, they're just growing up knowing the presence of God all the way through. So I want to challenge you on that. The second thing before we pray that I want to challenge you on is, as important as the body of Christ is, as important as it is to be a part of a good, life-giving church, it's also critically important that you as moms and dads lead your children in the things of God, that we can come alongside you and help you see them become the men and women God wants them to be. But ultimately, it's your responsibility. It's not a responsibility that you can contract out to children's workers or to the church. That God has given you the opportunity, the ability, the responsibility of training your children up, of mentoring them, discipling them. So that's the commitment that you're here to make, that you're going to live a Christ-like model before these children, that if they become like mommy, when they become like daddy, that's a step in the right direction, not the wrong direction. You're going to raise them to know the will of God. You're going to disciple them to know the word of God. Raise them to know the presence of God. You know, the Bible says that John the Baptist leapt in his mother's womb when Mary came in pregnant with Jesus. So if a child can be sensitive to the presence of God before they're born, then certainly after they're born, they can have a sensitivity to the presence of God. So don't put it off until they're, you know, when they're 18, they can start getting serious. Raise them early on. Don't make it a weird thing to pray in your household. Let them hear you pray. Let them know that God's word comes first. We read God's word. We get it in our heart. Have memory verses, you know, as a family. Talk about the things of God. Church is important, but don't let, you know, the things of God be just Sunday mornings and that's the last they hear of it. Raise them to know the presence of God. So I'm going to ask you to pray with me, and we're going to pray for these families. I want you to pray for them like you wish someone would have prayed for you when you were a baby, or you wish someone would have prayed for your child when they were being dedicated. Would you do that? Just go ahead and stretch your hands out. Pray out loud. This isn't just listening to me pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your kindness. Father, we thank you for the gift that these children are. Father, we're here this morning to acknowledge what a precious gift they are. And Father, I thank you for parents that want to dedicate themselves to living in line with that reality, that they would steward well the responsibility of training up young men of God, young women of God. So Father, we dedicate these families to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, set apart for your purposes. Father, these moms and dads would have the wisdom of God when they're raising their children to know in every situation exactly how to respond. They would have insight and understanding as to the strengths of their children that need to be developed. Father, as to certain cautions and precautions that need to be taken as they're raising their children, clear on through their teenage years, Father, these parents would know exactly what to do, how to speak into the lives of their children, able to handle every challenge that would come their way. Father, children set apart for the kingdom of God, anointed as a young woman of God, with a hunger and a thirst for the things of God, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for this family, Father, already committed to following you, already seeking your kingdom, giving themselves to advance the kingdom of God. Father, I pray that their children would be examples of what it is when a mom and a dad commit themselves to follow completely after Jesus Christ. Father, they would never know lack. They would never know defeat. They would only know the goodness of God in every situation in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over this family. Father, that every strategy, every scheme of the devil to discourage, derail, slow down would be an absolute failure in Jesus' name. An anointing as a father, an anointing as a mother. Father, an anointing as a young man of God, an anointing as a young woman of God, set apart for the purposes of God. Father, they would keep themselves pure, keep themselves holy, to be special vessels, ready for the Master's use in Jesus' name. Father, everywhere where the enemy would try to bring up things from the past, everywhere where the enemy would try to pull backwards. Father, your Holy Spirit would raise up a standard against every scheme of the enemy, and it would cause them to lurch forward and never backward in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we lay hands on these children. We declare them dedicated to you, dedicated to your purposes in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I pray that they'd know strength and healing in their body all the days of their lives. Father, these families would be tragedy-free, crisis-free, only knowing your faithfulness. Father, never having stories of where things went wrong. Never again in Jesus' name. Only stories of how you showed yourself faithful time and time and time again. Father, I pray for financial blessing. I pray they'd be strong emotionally, strong spiritually. Father, I pray that you'd raise up particularly the men on this platform right now to lead their families effectively in Jesus' name. Father, every insecurity, everything that the enemy would whisper in their ear that would hold them back from praying over their families, laying hands on their children, Father, you would anoint these men to be the fathers and the husbands you've called them to be, to fulfill the role of priests of their home with excellence, fully committed to you. Father, I pray that they would be a testimony, a trophy in their neighborhoods, in their schools. Father, the people at work, what it looks like when a family knows the presence of God. No divorce, no separations. Only husbands and wives falling deeper in love with Jesus and deeper in love with one another. Father, no rebellion in these children in Jesus' name. Rebellion free all the days of their life in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that these little boys and these little girls would grow up loving you more than they love anything else. That nothing else would ever capture their heart the way that you've captured their heart. We give you praise and thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask you guys to head this way, and Miss Arielle has a gift for you that I would encourage you to read on a daily basis with your child. May it be the first of many Bibles that they absolutely wear out. Praise the Lord. Well, we're also going to celebrate this morning with welcoming new members into our church family, people that want to be a part of what God's doing here, new partners in the mission that God has given us. So if you're one of those folks that has gone through Growth Track, you're being welcomed and recognized as new members of our church family, I'm going to invite you to come forward at this point. Go ahead and make your way up front. You can just line right up here across the... Praise the Lord. Hey, just line up. Perfect. Perfect. Praise God. This might be the second time that we've had to start, first time we've had a second row. This is awesome. Praise the Lord. You know, I want to pray for you here in just a moment as we recognize you and welcome you in as church members. Thank you, first of all, for wanting to be a part of something bigger than yourself, be a part of what God is doing, your answers to prayer. And so we're excited to have you as part of our church family. And I want to encourage you to take it seriously. Take your church membership seriously. Don't let it be a side issue. Don't let it be something you know, just a formality that you go through. The mission of our church to connect people with the newness of life found only in Jesus Christ, that you're accepting that, that's now your mission, which really that's not from the church. That's just really the Great Commission that Jesus has given us. But what you're doing this morning is really acknowledging that this is the family, this is the team that you're going to fulfill that calling with. Almost like this is the military unit that you've been assigned to, and you're accepting that assignment to do what you were created to do, to fulfill the Great Commission, to help us as a church family, as a military unit, take this region for the kingdom of God, to see people connected with newness of life. So you're here this morning saying, you know, acknowledging, Lord, I accept the assignment. This is the unit I'm going to serve with. That we're bonded together in purpose. Amen? So I'm going to ask you to make a commitment to help live and uphold our values as a church. We love. We believe. We serve. We give. We go. That's who we are as a church family. That's the culture we want as a church family, to uphold those and to live by them, to help bring others into that newness of life, to help others live, grow, and serve, see that development happen in their lives as followers of Jesus, and to help us advance the kingdom of God. You know, before I pray for you, as you went through Growth Track, there was a couple of things that we said. One of the things we talked about when we talked about serving, we said everyone is a 10 in some area. There's some area where you are uniquely gifted. You are special. There's certain things that only you can do as good as you can do them. There are certain people that only you can reach. So I want you to find that place and serve. Don't let yourself get weary in doing well. Continue serving. No, I am a 10. God has anointed me and called me. There's impact that only I can make. And if I don't do it, those are things that just aren't going to get done. Take it seriously. And that is all an overflow of those four disciplines that we talked about in Growth Track as well. Certain things that you need to have. We talked about them being like legs on a chair or legs on a table to keep your walk with God growing and stable. That you spend time in the Word of God every day. That you spend time seeking the Lord in prayer. Spend time fellowshipping with Him. Spend time in Christian fellowship. You need to be around men and women of God as a church family, in connect groups, and then serve. Continue to give. Give financially. Give of your time. Give of your abilities. Keep those four things in your life. Keep your relationship with Jesus as the most precious thing. Continue to press in. Continue to fall more in love with Him. Because all of the serving is going to just be an overflow of your relationship with Jesus. So I want to encourage you. Plead with you. Keep following Jesus. Keep falling deeper in love with Him. Keep make a daily commitment. It's the most important thing of your day, the most important thing in your life. Man, my relationship with Jesus. I got to grow closer. I got to follow after Him. And then all the things that God wants to do through you, it's just going to be an overflow of that relationship. So I want to anoint you this morning. Dozer, you bring me that. He pulled this out of his pocket inside his jacket. You've got to be a man of substantial size to have a bottle like this on your inside pocket. I could not get away with having this on the inside of my. So we want to anoint you, pray for you, lay hands on you, and commission you to be the parts of the body of Christ that God's called you to be. You know, we talked about last week that God knew when you would be, and He knew where you would be, and He's appointed you to bear much fruit. And so you're here, and you're here now for such a time as this. There's things that God has called you to do in this body of Christ and called you to do in this community with this body of Christ. So I'm going to ask you to just go ahead and lift your hands. Folks, would you help me pray for these new brothers and sisters in our church family? Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name. Just go ahead and lift your voice. Pray out loud. Father, I thank you for every man, every woman that's being welcomed into our church family today. Lord, I thank you for the calling of God on their life. Father, we lay hands anointed to do the things that you've called them to do. Father, they would never know discouragement. They would never be lacking in zeal in Jesus' name. Father, as I lay my hand on them, Father, I pray for a fresh infilling, filled fresh with your Holy Spirit, never the same, God. Let this be a day that is monumental as they have that call on their life sink deeper, become more of a reality than ever before in Jesus' name. Father, set apart to do your work, set apart as men and women of God. Father, I pray that you bless their relationships in this church family. Father, they would have brothers and sisters, friendships that they never knew were possible. Father, they would know what it is to be a part of the family of God. Father, I ask that you would surround them with other men and women that would speak life, that would help develop the gifts. Father, you'd surround them with people that would help them fulfill their destiny. Father, I curse discouragement in any of their lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, everywhere where the enemy would try to discourage them, whether it's through the voice of others, whether it's through their own emotions, their own thought process, Father, I pray that anything that is of discouragement would be like a frequency that they lose the ability to hear from this day forward in Jesus' name. Father, they would only know the things that you say about them. Father, they would only grow more passionate about your kingdom. Father, they would only grow more fruitful in advancing your kingdom. Father, I thank you that your call on each of their lives. They didn't choose you. You chose them and you appointed them to bear much fruit in the name of Jesus. Let that be the reality, Father, that they would be highly fruitful in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. Be filled fresh with the Spirit of God in Jesus' name. Anointed, a mighty man of God, a mighty woman of God. Father, everywhere where there's confusion, everywhere where there's something that causes indecision to rule and reign, let it be destroyed in Jesus' name. Father, a clear calling in Jesus' name. Filled with your Spirit, filled with your Holy Spirit, set apart to do exploits for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you're calling on each and every one of them. It would be like as deep calls unto deep. And that calling wouldn't get lost in the shuffle, wouldn't be crowded out by all the other things calling for their attention, competing for them. But let that voice, that calling over their life become clear and clear and clear in Jesus' name. I thank you that you're not the author of confusion. Father, I pray they would know the leading of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, praise you, Lord Jesus. Filled, mighty woman of God, mighty man of God, in Jesus' name. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over each one of these folks, over their families. Let their roots continue to grow deeper and deeper, that they'd grow stronger and stronger in you, their steps ordered of you. Lord, I pray you'd strengthen them in their innermost being by your Holy Spirit. Every yoke that the enemies try to put on their lives, I command it to be destroyed right now in Jesus' name. Yokes of anger, yokes of condemnation from past mistakes, be destroyed in Jesus' name. Everything that would try to compete for lordship, for rulership in their life, I command it to loose its hold on every life standing here this morning. Completely free, completely dedicated for your purposes. Completely free, set apart for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we praise you. Father, I thank you for the work that you've begun in each life. I know that you're faithful to bring it to completion. We praise you for it. In Jesus' wonderful name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Do we have t-shirts for everyone? Okay. You know what? Make sure before you leave that you see Arielle. We can maybe do it after the service. She's got a t-shirt, a Center Branch t-shirt. That I always say you're obligated to wear from now on. Yeah, so you can stop by the welcome desk after service on your way down to the picnic, and we'll make sure we get one of those so we won't have to do that right now. But God bless you. I love you so much. Thank you for being a part of our church family. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, it's good to celebrate. God wants his people to be people that have celebrations, people that are celebratory. Do you know that? That it honors God when we celebrate, but did you know that it's also critical for you and I to celebrate? It's pleasing to the Lord, but it's also something that is very important in the life of a believer, that we would celebrate the goodness of God in our lives. God wants his people to celebrate. As you read through the Old Testament, you'll see that there are so many different celebrations that God prescribed for his people under the Old Covenant. All kinds of celebrations, but among all those celebrations, there were three primary celebrations where the children of Israel would all come together for a special festival, a special feast, a time of celebrating God's goodness and kindness. Three primary or main ones where they would all come together. One of them was the Passover celebration. They would come together in Jerusalem and they would celebrate and remember the time that God delivered them out of slavery and through the blood of the Passover lamb brought them out from the control of Egypt and made it so that they were free people. So every year they would get together and celebrate. And it didn't matter what kind of mood you were in. When it was time to celebrate Passover, if you're not in the mood to celebrate, well, you get yourself in the mood to celebrate because God says it's time to celebrate what he's done for you. So they would come, they would celebrate. How they used to be slaves. If God hadn't gotten involved, they would still be slaves. So they would celebrate. So that was the Passover. Then the next celebration they had was Pentecost, 50 days after Passover. After God brought them out of Egypt, he then gave them the law on Mount Sinai. It's a two-part celebration, Pentecost is. They would celebrate the wheat harvest, but they would also celebrate the anniversary of when God gave them the law. And then the third primary festival that they had, they'd all come together, would be the festival of booths or the festival of shelters, festival of tabernacles. It's called different things. And they would come together and they would actually build little huts, little booths, and they would live in them for a week as they celebrated the feast of booths or tabernacles. And what they would celebrate then is they would celebrate those 40 years in the wilderness, how faithful God was to get them to the promised land. That they lived in a temporary place, in temporary dwellings, as God was getting ready to bring them into a land of permanence, a land that would be their very own. So they're celebrating how faithful God was to get them to the place that he said he was going to get them to. So those were very real events in the history of Israel. Those celebrations were real celebrations of real things. You know, as I was studying this week for this morning, I came across one thing that I read. It was talking about these different celebrations, the Passover, the Pentecost, Festival of Tabernacles. And it said something along the lines of, you know, the Passover is the anniversary. They celebrate the myth of how the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt. These are real events, historical events that they were celebrating. So they were real celebrations for the children of Israel. But that's not all that they were. They were also types or shadows pointing to something in the future. So the Passover celebration was a celebration of what? It was a celebration that people, by the blood of a lamb, moved from slavery to freedom. That was a type that's been fulfilled in Jesus dying on the cross. That just like people moved from under the slavery of Egypt to being free people, through the blood of Jesus, we move from being under the slavery of sin, the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of light, to be people who are completely free. So that festival has reached its fulfillment in Jesus. The next festival was the festival of Pentecost. Again, two parts. They celebrated the harvest of wheat. In John chapter 4, Jesus said, you know the saying, people say that 4 months between planting and between harvesting, but I tell you, wake up. Look, the fields are ripe unto harvest. And the laborers, the harvesters, are paid good wages, and the fruit that they harvest as lives brought into eternal life. On more than one occasion, Jesus would look out at people, see the crowds, the multitudes, and turn to his disciples and say, pray to the Lord of the harvest. Pray that there would be workers to go and to bring in this harvest. He wasn't talking about just the wheat being ripe. He was talking about people being brought into the kingdom of God. So just like the Passover it's reached its fulfillment. We've seen it fulfilled in Jesus coming. Well, on the day of Pentecost, we see the fulfillment of this type, this shadow. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, I want you to wait in Jerusalem until you receive The power of the Holy Spirit. And what did he say the Holy Spirit would do? He'll anoint you. He'll enable you to be harvesters. He'll make you witnesses. Jesus gave them the Great Commission. I want you to go and tell everybody. Make new disciples. But wait. First, you need a special endowment of power to be harvesters. And what happened on that day of Pentecost that fulfilled? Jesus poured out his Holy Spirit. And what happened immediately? 3,000 people were harvested into the kingdom of God. And then 5,000 people were harvested into the kingdom of God. And on to us today. A harvest was underway. Just like the law came down on the original day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down on the fulfillment of the day of Pentecost. So both of those festivals, both of those celebrations have been fulfilled by Jesus, death on the cross, and by the outpouring of God's Spirit to anoint us as harvesters and to fill us with God's own Spirit. But there was a third festival, a third celebration that hasn't been fulfilled yet. Only one left. And it was the festival of what? The festival of tabernacles, festival of booths. What were they celebrating? They were celebrating that we used to live in this temporary place. We used to live in these little huts, these booths, in a land that wasn't really where we were going to eventually end up. But God was faithful to bring us into a place of permanency, to put that wandering, that wilderness time, to put it behind and cause us to come in. God got us where he said he was going to get us. That's what they were celebrating originally. So what do you think the fulfillment of that type is going to be? That there's going to come a point in time where we put all this temporary stuff aside. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I'm going to prepare a place for you. If it weren't true, I would tell you, but listen, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Why, Jesus? So that where I am, you can be there as well. I'm going to prepare a place, but I'm coming back for you. I'm coming back for you. And all this temporary dwelling stuff, it's going to be over. I'm going to get you to the place that I said I'm going to get you. Jesus is coming back for his church. There's going to be a fulfillment of the third type of festival on the Jewish calendar. And it's when Jesus comes back. You know, they also called, besides the Festival of Tabernacles, it was also referred to as the Festival of Ingathering. And that's exactly what it's going to be. It's going to be a time of ingathering when those people that know Jesus meet him in the air and spend eternity with him. That day is coming. And you can see, we won't get into it this morning, but you can watch the news. You can see things that even happened just yesterday, not far from here. That it's coming. You can see the day and the hour. People don't know when it's going to come, but you can see it's getting closer and closer and closer. Now, it's important that we celebrate. Two of those things we can already celebrate. We can already live the lives of celebration. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that I used to be a slave to sin, but now I'm free. I used to be bound by the blood of the Lamb of God. I've been completely set free. I thank you for provision today, that you've filled me with your Holy Spirit. You've empowered me to be a harvester, that your presence is with me. Just like those children of Israel in the land of the wilderness, that they could thank God that he was providing for them day by day. Everything they ate, everything they drank came from the hand of God. That his presence was with them in a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. He was leading them and guiding them. They should have been celebrating. But that's the problem that they ran into. You know, when you read Exodus chapter 15, you can read the song that they sang, celebrating God. God, you brought us through the Red Sea. What a mighty God. What a wonderful God. They danced, they sang, but it wasn't too long until they started to grumble and complain. Just the next chapter. They started off celebrating, but then they started grumbling. They started complaining. Do you know, for an entire generation, that lack of celebrating actually affected where they would end up. Those people that ceased to celebrate, it affected their faith. That's why I said it's not just, you know, for God's benefit that we celebrate. Do you know it is critically important in your own life that you celebrate the goodness of God? Because they stopped celebrating everything God had done, because they stopped celebrating everything God was doing, they missed out on what God had for them down the road. That because they stopped celebrating everything they'd seen God do, it actually affected their faith, and they couldn't wrap their faith around God's going to get us where he said he's going to get us. Your lack of celebration will begin to have a negative effect on your faith. It is important that we celebrate the goodness of God. It's important that we celebrate three different areas, that we celebrate what he has done, how he rescued. Think about where you used to be. Think about what your life would look like. You would still be a slave to sin. Some of us wouldn't have the beautiful families that we have today. Some of us wouldn't have the careers that we have today. Some of us wouldn't be alive today. Some of us would be riddled with disease and different addictions. But Jesus came and he broke the hold of sin on our lives and made it so that we're completely free. That's worth celebrating. We can celebrate. Listen, we can celebrate what God has done for us, and we need to be celebrating what God is doing for us currently, that his presence is with us. We can lift our voices. We're not distanced from the presence of God unless we want to be distanced. We can know his provision every day. Give us today our daily bread. Fill me fresh with your spirit. I want to walk in fellowship with you. You can know his presence with you today, and we need to celebrate where it is that we're headed. Think about where you're going. You're going to spend, Jesus, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Jesus is working on a place just for you, and he's been working on it for thousands of years. God created everything we see, the entire universe, in 6 days. So if he's been working on a place for you for 2,000 years, it's not going to be too shabby, amen? He's putting some thought into it. He knows just what you like. He's been working on it. I go to prepare a place. He even emphasized it. Listen, if it wasn't so, I wouldn't tell you this unless it was true. No, I'm preparing a place, and I'm coming back, and I'm going to get you so that where I am, you can be. We need to be living a life of celebration, where we've been, what God brought us from, where we are today, and where we are headed. Amen? That we need to celebrate it. We need to be excited about it, to stir ourselves up. It is appropriate to celebrate. It is needful that we celebrate. God, I thank you for where I am today. I thank you that my best days are ahead of me. When this life ends, when they throw this body in a box and say a few nice words about me, I'm going to be celebrating forever and ever and ever. We need to get used to celebrating together, because 10,000 years from now, 10 million years from now, we'll still be together. We'll still be celebrating in the presence of God. Amen? But all of that celebration comes from having a relationship with Jesus. You can't celebrate knowing the presence of God's Spirit with you today if there's not a point in time where you accepted Jesus as your Savior. You can't celebrate where you're headed if you don't know Jesus. You can't celebrate, I used to be a slave to sin, but now I'm free, if you never accepted the fulfillment of that Passover lamb. So in just a few minutes, we're going to continue celebrating. I want everyone to be able to celebrate. I want everyone to be able to thank God. God, thank you, I'm not in sin anymore. Thank you that hold's been broken on my life. Thank you that you've made your spirit available for me today. Thank you, Lord, I can just look forward to the future, that death has lost its sting. I'll spend eternity in paradise. We can celebrate that, but only if you know Jesus as your Savior. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Maybe you're here as a grandparent. Maybe you're here as a friend of the family to see a child be dedicated or to see someone be baptized. That's not all you're here for. You're here because God wants a relationship with you. He wants you to be able to celebrate his goodness. He wants you to know his kindness. He wants you to know that you know that you know. He loves you enough to send his own son to die and pay the price for your sin. But all of it's for nothing in your life if you don't have a point in time where you can say, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I turned my back on sin. I repented. I gave Jesus my heart. I gave him my life because he gave me his. If there's not a point in time where you can say, that's the day I accepted Jesus, let today be that day. Don't leave here today not knowing that where you're headed is heaven. Don't leave here today not having the ability to celebrate. I used to be dead on the inside. I used to be in the kingdom of darkness, but now I'm in the kingdom of light. Now I've got newness of life that's only found in Jesus Christ. Jesus made me a new creature, a new creation. Don't leave here not knowing that reality. Or maybe at one point in time, you asked Jesus to be your Savior, but you've not been following him. You've not been serving him the way that you should. And you need to recommit your life. Say, Jesus, I told you I'd follow you, but I haven't been. I said you'd be Lord of my life, but you're not. I make that change today. If you need to accept Jesus as your Savior, you need to recommit your life to following him. And the easiest way to tell is just to think, if I were to die today, do I have an inner peace, a knowing on the inside of me that I'm going to spend eternity with God? Because he gives us his Holy Spirit as a spirit of adoption. We can cry out in our hearts, Abba, Father, Daddy. We know that we're the righteousness of God in Christ. If you don't have that peace, if you don't have that knowing, I were to die today, would I spend eternity in heaven based on my relationship with Jesus? If you can't answer that, absolutely. This is your opportunity to change that. You need to accept Jesus as your Savior, or you need to recommit your life to following Him. So with nobody looking around, nobody moving around for just a moment, if that's you, you need to accept Jesus, recommit your life to following Him. Would you slip a hand up so I can pray with you today? You need to accept Jesus as your Savior. You need to recommit your life to following Him. Put your hand up nice and high so I can see you. Give you just another minute. If you need to accept Jesus, today's your day to accept Jesus, to know that newness of life, to be able to celebrate with us. If you need to recommit your life to Jesus. I don't see any hands, so I assume that all of us know Jesus is our Savior. You can open your eyes. We'll get ready to celebrate together then, amen? That we're going to celebrate God's goodness and His kindness. I'm going to ask Pastor Jonathan and the band to come back up. People that are being baptized, you can go ahead and come up and get ready to be baptized. While we get ready to celebrate with you, I want to read to you a passage that we typically read before we baptize. Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 1, it says, "Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of His wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined Him in His death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives." I want to read a couple of those verses again. "Have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined Him in His death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism." Two times in just those verses. And we could look at others. But just in that passage, it talks about something happening in baptism, that we're joined to Jesus in baptism. We identify with Him in baptism. There is a spiritual death that takes place. We identify with the death of Jesus in baptism. Why? So that there can be a new life that comes forward. So as we baptize, there is a symbolism to it. We see the death and resurrection of Jesus. We see people go under the water and come back up. I'm dead to my old self. I'm alive now to Christ. But it's a mistake to think that it's just symbolism, that it's just an empty going through the motions. When the Bible tells us something takes place in baptism, something unique, something special. So when we relegate things just to symbolism, we can often lose really the impact and the power. It takes faith to really be able to draw the significance. Just like when we receive communion as a church family. Communion can be just symbolism. It can be just going through the motions, a religious practice. We eat the cracker, we drink the juice. It's kind of symbolic of the body of Jesus, kind of symbolic of His blood. And it can be just that. But when you engage it with faith, saying, I know this is just isn't empty symbolism. I know there's a power in the body of Jesus. I know there is a power in receiving the blood of Jesus. Jesus said, this is my covenant. There is something covenantal that takes place in the communion meal. It's not empty symbolism, and it's the same with baptism, that this is a powerful moment when we engage it in faith. So in just a couple of minutes, Pastor Jonathan, the worship team are going to lead us. We're going to start baptizing people, and we need to celebrate. Celebrate, you know, not, hey, good for you, you got baptized. We're celebrating the goodness of God. Celebrate what He's done in your own life. Think about where you used to be. Think about where you would be. Just like the children of Israel, they would still be slaves today unless God had gotten involved. You and I would still be slaves today, still bound by sin, if God hadn't gotten involved. You were a slave to sin, every one of us. It doesn't have to be some obvious slavery, like a drug addiction, although that certainly applies. Anyone who doesn't know Jesus is a slave to sin. The devil has some slaves that are more respectable than others, but everyone's a slave. Whether you're a slave to pride and materialism, you're still a slave. Just like the person who's a slave to meth, it's still slavery and bound by sin. Just because it's more socially acceptable doesn't mean it's not, you're still on a road to hell and you need a Savior. All of us were slaves to sin, and Jesus saved us. So we celebrate that. We celebrate where we are now, the goodness of God. Think about how He provides for you. He sustains you. He sustains you physically. He sustains you spiritually. We can celebrate where we are headed with God in anticipation. And again, the children of Israel, what a different story it would be for that entire generation if they'd learned just to continue to celebrate. It would have changed everything for them. Instead of moping around for 40 years, what a waste. God had a place He wanted to take them to, and they missed out because they couldn't celebrate. They couldn't acknowledge His goodness. Could acknowledge His provision. He set them free. He was taking care of them. He was leading them. Their failure to celebrate that cost them where He wanted to take them. That'll never be the case for you and I, amen? That will never be the case for us. God is faithful to get us where He said He's going to get us as we continue to celebrate and just rejoice in His goodness and His kindness. So go ahead and stand to your feet. Even before Pastor Jonathan begins to lead us, you just begin to lift your voice and tell God, thank You. Father, I thank You. I thank You. I'm not where I used to be. I'm not how I used to be. I thank You that there is a newness of life on the inside of me. I'm a new creature. I'm a new creation. I've been set free from where sin used to bind me. The things that used to have control over my life no longer have control. I thank You for the blood of Jesus. I thank You for freedom. I thank You that You're with me today. I thank You that You lead me and guide me. Thank You for sustaining me. Thank You that I can look forward to an eternity instead of being separated from You in a lake of fire. I know I can rejoice around Your throne forever and ever and ever. Just lift your hands, continue to celebrate His goodness.